Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Thursday, October the 8th. It's the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 10, and we're down the third paragraph, I Had Always, and it ends with, but that was as far as I had gone, and we'll be studying that one, pulling apart that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Pat G., the 12 Traditions, Karen W., and the readers of the text are Brandy M., Shelley E., and Leslie W. The share ID for yesterday, Wednesday, October 7th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 15,499. That's 15499. And for Thursday, October 8th, this morning's meeting at 7 a.m. Eastern Time is 15,505. That's 15505. Our newcomer greeter is Kaylee R., and our announcements person is Robin P. Over OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Pat G. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning. This is Pat G. of Arizona. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater and the 12 steps. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Number two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And thank you for letting me do this service.
And thank you, Pat G. And I will now ask Karen W. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Karen.
Hi, good morning, Mo. This is Karen W., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. But before reading the traditions, I need to apologize to the group for not keeping my commitment to do that last Thursday. I don't have any excuse. I simply forgot, and I'm deeply sorry. I'd like to thank whoever it is who covered for me last week. And with God's help, this will not happen again. So now the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for allowing me to continue to do service, and I'll pass.
Well, and thank you, Karen W. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone again. And that's the star 1 function on your phone, not the mute function. Thank you. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 10. The third paragraph down, I had always starts with, and it ends with, but that was as far as I had gone. And I will now ask Brandy M. to get us started. Good morning, Brandy.
Good morning, Mo. Thanks for your service. I'm Brandy M., recovered compulsive eater in Alberta, Canada. I had always believed in a power greater than myself. I had often pondered these things. I was not an atheist. Few people really are, for that means blind faith in the strange proposition that this universe originated in cipher and aimlessly rushes nowhere. My intellectual heroes, the chemists, the astronomers, even the evolutionists, suggested vast laws and forces at work. Despite contrary indications, I had little doubt that a mighty purpose and rhythm underlie it all. How could there be so much of precise and law and no intelligence? I simply had to believe in a spirit of the universe who knew neither time nor limitation. But that was as far as I had gone. So I can really relate to Bill in this. You know, I always believed in a higher power, like I believed something was there, but there was no real connection. There was no, you know, daily thought out process of how I'm going to connect. It was kind of something that, you know, I thought there must be, you know, there's evil, there's good. I grew up in a home that didn't, you know, have a whole lot of religious practices. And so we went to Catholic school, and that was kind of my only, basically my only outlet to this possible higher power. And, you know, I remember my mom every night when we were kids, we would say a certain prayer, and And then that's where that ended. And so I didn't really know. And when I, you know, when I came into program, I knew I wasn't an atheist, because I knew there was something, but I also didn't really know what that was. And I really feel today that I was just so blocked to feeling or seeing anything beyond, you know, myself and my selfishness and my dishonesty and my food addiction. And so it was like, you know, I feel the food had to, I don't think that I would have, you know, I went to church a few times and that kind of thing, but I just always, I didn't want to live the way that they were telling me that I needed to live. And so I would always go back to like, I know better. I know, like, I know Brandy knows. And, you know, it would always end up with being, you know, face down in the food and doing my thing. And so there wasn't any real connection until I came into program, where it was like the food went down. And then at first I was really miserable and just couldn't, like, life was unbearable. But then slowly, as I started to work the steps and do the directions in this book, slowly things started to change, and this higher power and this, you know, other way of living became more clear to me, and that closeness to my creator. And, you know, like, I'm a year abstinent, just over a year, and I feel like there's still more to come. There's always things being revealed to me. And as the layers of the onion unpeel, you know, God and I get closer. It's like an evolving relationship. It's not something that just started and, you know, it was full on, here we are. And today, like, I'm grateful for that. And I embrace that. I don't get worried about it. And for me to think, you know, every day and I'm going to be wake up and I'm going to be connected to God the minute I'm waked up, that's selfish. That's, you know, that's the way I used to live. It's like, okay, God, what would you have me be today? If we don't feel close, we don't feel close. And I still do the right actions and the next steps to get that closeness. But, you know, for me to be attached to the outcome, that's about self-centeredness. And so, yeah, with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Brandy M., for getting us started. I'll remind everybody where we are. We're on page 10, the third paragraph down, that I had always, it starts with, I had always, and it ends with, but that was as far as I had gone. And I will now ask, open the lines up for those of you who'd like to share.
Courtney M.
Donna B.
The A-N-A. Anyone else? There's your chance.
Chris G.
Johnny B.
Irene,
was that Irene B? Okay.
That's correct, Irene B.
Margot P.
Margot, I'll put you on the next round, okay? Got my six, but I'll put you on the next round. Okay, Linda, I can't remember. And there was a Char, number four. Charlene. Oh, I think it was
Shawnee
Charlene.
B.
Shawnee. Oh, Shawnee. Thank you. Okay, B. Okay, here we go. Courtney M., Donna B., Chris G., Shawnee B., Linda, I think it's G., and Irene B., and Margot P., you'll be first one next. All right. So everybody mute your line, please, and Courtney M., please get us started.
Thank you. This is Courtney M., recovered compulsive overeater in Southwest Florida. Thank you so much, everybody, for your service. These meetings are saving my life one day at a time, so thank you. I can really relate to this particular section because I grew up in a household with, when I was very young, my dad was a minister, and then he had a falling out with the church and a nervous breakdown, and then God became a dirty word in my house. So I kind of had a little a taste of both sides of it. I never stopped believing that there was something greater than myself that had more power than me. I could see it, especially for me. nature is where I really, really connect with my higher power. And I cannot go for a walk in the woods or on the beach or in the mountains without seeing evidence that there is, you know, an intelligence, the way things work and how life is really balanced. I am also a very, when left to my own devices, self-centered, strong-willed person. And I didn't want to believe that I didn't have the answers or that I didn't know everything. And as time passed by, I realized that I know less and less. Even as I'm learning, I know less. But the idea that is kind of a concept of a higher power personal to oneself, that's something that I've been able to connect with through this program, and it has given me such a wonderful sense of support, and I understand more and more how to rely on my higher power and how to take a pause and not instantly go to that thing that I think I should do. And in that pause, I find out what I really can do, what I'm capable of, and what I need to leave alone. So, gosh, I'm so grateful for this connection that I've learned how to stay connected with because of these steps. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Courtney M. Donna B., followed by Chris G. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning. This is Donna B., spelled D-A-N-A, recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver, Colorado. I had often pondered. I haven't looked up the word pondered, but my understanding of it is that it's pretty much synonymous with thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking. And my thinking on its own gets me into a state of trouble and confusion. Ever since I was a little girl, I had a preoccupation with death. My dad is a Holocaust survivor. And people have asked in the past, you know, what's it like living with a Holocaust survivor? And I would say it's sort of like living with 6 million dead people in your living room. So when I pondered the concept of God, it was always deeply intertwined with, why do we die? Why are we here? How did we come to be? If I was created by a God, then who created God? And I would get into this rabbit hole trying to understand by using my best thinking. Part of my growth in the program is to be at comfort, to be at ease with this higher power being a mystery that I just don't understand. And that pondering what God is and how God is and how God came to be and how I came to be doesn't help me to live in the solution. Currently, my concept of God is a hug. Not a physical hug, but the sensation that I associate with a hug. Being held in such a way that I can let go, that I can breathe, and I can let go of all of my planning and thinking and anticipating and wanting to control outcomes. But for that tiny moment, I can trust that I'm being taken care of, that everything's going to be okay, and I can just surrender into the warmth and love, safety and protection of being hugged. I am not I'm so far from where I imagine other people are with their concept of a higher power. But for today, I need to focus just on myself and not compare myself to others and be okay with where I've come in my relationship with a higher power. And with that, I pass.
Well, thank you, Donna B. Perfect timing. Chris G, followed by Shawnee B. Good morning, Chris.
Yes, I'm Chris G, and I'm a compulsive eater, and I am thankful that everybody is here today. And with this paragraph, it's talking about how I'd always believed, and it reminds me of how I used to think about God and food. And with my food issues, my food problems, I wanted to be my own power. I believed God could help with other things, but I really wanted to fix my own food problem by myself with my own willpower. And obviously that didn't work. And so in this paragraph, I'm beginning to see that I moved past that thinking into a God that is not out there helping other people with their problems, but that can actually be part of my my food issues and my food problems, that I don't have to do it by myself. And I have other people sharing their experience and strength and hope with me, which is so helpful. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Chris G. Shawnee B, followed by Linda G. Good morning, Shawnee.
Good morning. Can I be heard?
Yes.
Okay. Good morning. Shawnee B, located in South Florida. I really wanted to share this morning. I don't really share very often, but in this moment, I am just in so much deep pain within my relationship toward my higher power, and just really just overwhelmed just by so much, you know, just so much pain. And it really brings me back, you know, listening to Bill's story and just hearing the experience, strength, and hope from him. The concept that, you know, when I take on every morning steps one, two, and three, and really surrender to this higher power, no matter what I have going on, ultimately knows what's truly best for me. And I know that some people see it as a selfishness, you know, my will, his will. I just see it as being human, you know, like we're human and we, you know, we come into this world imperfect. And just this reading today has really helped me to, it's almost like I feel like I'm like my will is in front of me and I'm holding on to it so tightly. And the reading is really just helping me, like, feel like God taking my hands and helping me to just let go a little bit, let go of the grip, and to understand that this is part of the human experience. And living abstinently is such an incredible blessing that I have been given and that I continue to be given. And I just, again, this reading kind of helps me to see once again that, like, God is taking my hands that are gripping to my will so tightly. So tightly, and just saying, sweet girl or sweet woman, I've got you. It's going to be okay. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Shawnee B. Linda G, followed by Irene B. Good morning, Linda.
Hi, good morning. It's Linda R. in North Carolina.
Oh.
Covered, and that's okay. No problem.
I knew I had it wrong. Thank
that's
you.
That's okay. Thanks so much for your service, for everyone sharing on the line today. It's very powerful. This part of the big book really resonates with me. I really relate and identify with that exact statement. You know, I always had a higher power, even as a child in my family of origin. I always believed in something greater than myself. I believed in Superman. He was my hero. I mean, I used to believe that he would wrap me in his cape and carry me away from the chaotic, you know, environment that I was in. And, you know, as I came into program and I started working the steps, the biggest problem I had was three. Of course, I believed in the higher power. I made the decision. However, I had trouble turning my life over because I did not have really a defined depth and weight concept of a higher power specifically for me. So as I started really working these steps, especially step 11, and of course, always rallying at three, you know, the acronym for three is trust, thoroughly relying and understanding step three. I really did not have a true understanding till I kept navigating the steps through the big book and constantly repeating. And then about a decade ago in my recovery, my sponsor said to me, you know, Linda, you're really lacking your spiritual enlargement. And I started to really like concentrate more on the spiritual part of my program. And I also call it like I turn myself inside out. Because before, I used to look at God as an outside force, like I looked up at the sky or at night, or I'd walk around and I would think God was going to fix me from the outside. But as I kept communing with my personal concept with a lot of visualization, which I do today, you know, I picture myself on the wing of a dove and God is holding my hand and grabbing me at night. Like when I do my meditating, I do a lot of visualization, connecting with God. And then, you know, 10, 11, and 12 throughout my day, I'm connecting, I'm caring before him. He's caring for me. And the one thing I just have to share of late with my communion with my higher power is when I'm quiet and I'm really meditating, after I say my scripted prayers and my regimen for the day and at night when I commune, if I sit quietly, there's a little space like between Linda and God. And when I listen, I get the answers. So for me, the quiet and all of this work that I'm doing with God has helped me create this wonderful relationship with a great reliance, with trust, safety, protection, even in a world of chaos. So thank you for allowing me to share.
Well, thank you, Linda R. Before I take Irene B., let me remind everybody where we are, those of you that got on the line a little later. Page 10, the third paragraph down, starts out with I had always, and it ends with, but that was as far as I had gone. And after Irene, I will take some more names. I already have Margot P. Okay, Irene, I had to give my little speech. Here you go.
I love your speeches. Good morning. Thank you so much for your service, Irene B., gratefully recovered bulimic from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I have to start by saying that there are two distinct parts of me, my intellectual self and my emotional self that lives in my prehistoric brain where all my core irrational beliefs live. And some of those were sealed in by trauma. And my intellectual life and my prehistoric brain thought life are very, very different. And my background with religion and spirituality is that as a child, I wanted to be a good girl and I wanted to be tight with God. I wanted to have a close, intimate relationship with God. And as I went through life, as a child, I begged God to help with my circumstances. And from my perspective as a child, God didn't care. And so I quit asking. And I started to go my own way. And this disease of compulsive overeating and eating disorders is an insidious disease. And it started early in my childhood because as God was not the power to make things better, I had to take matters into my own hands and I had to become my own God. And I had to find a solution. And the solution, quite frankly, was food. And it worked. It was great. It numbed me from my feelings. It entertained, comforted me. It gave me all the things that life was denying me as a child. And And then I just walked away from God because God just didn't care about me. And then I reconciled with God after I went through the first eating disorder program. And I went to a non-denominational church, and it was beautiful. And I achieved a closeness with God like I'd never known before, but yet I was very bulimic. And then when I went to an AA person who told me she would take me through the steps, and that's a long story, I can't get into it now. She said, "Irene, do you believe in God?" And I said, "Of course I do. Yes, yes. I go to church. I do this. I do that. And I love God. And I'm so grateful to Him." That's as an adult. And she said, "Irene, I know that all of us who go to church, we think we're tight with God. But when we work this program, we find that there is a part of us who is angry at God, don't believe in God, don't know God. And so we need to explore this." Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry that time is out. I'll just say that I've had to explore God from the child point of view so that I can really, really fully connect to Him. And with that, I pass.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Irene. And so I'm now going to open the lines up to more who'd like to share. Margo P., I have you on as number one.
Celine,
Georgie.
So who,
Terry,
Irene?
Kim.
Who's that first?
Colleen G.
Colleen. Okay.
No, Helene.
And George.
George E.
Okay. And George E.
Jerry H M.
Jerry H M.
I think that other person was Helene with an H. I'm not sure.
Yes.
Got it. Thank you very much for helping me.
No problem.
Okay. I can, let me see. I can take a few more.
Irie B.
Okay. Irie B. We'll stop there then. I have Margo P. Thank you for Helene B., George E., Terry H.M., and Irie B. All right, here we go. Margo P., you're on.
Hi, my name is Margo P. from Florida. Compulsive overeater, absent for today. I had a relapse like a month ago, and I was grieving, going through some losses in my life. But I'm just grateful that I've been on this vision for you, because I know the seed has been planted for me. And that paragraph says, "I have always believed in a power greater than myself." And I used to believe that. When I was a kid, I used to play role play with cross, and as I would bring my cousins, and we all played, pretend we were all disciples, you know. And I didn't know what I was doing. I was just clueless, and I was a child. But then growing up as an adult, didn't practice deeply to be connected with God until I got into the program Overeaters Anonymous, and with the help of the steps, and this is a step two for me. Because God is in charge, I'm not. And I used to be that I was God, you know, me, the God of understanding. That's not how it worked. I had to come to believe a spirit of the universe. And for that, I am so grateful. And living a day at a time, knowing that I was a compulsive eater, and I'm also in and out of the program many times. And so I'm really back for today. Because I know this is the only way to live the program in the spiritual way, in the fellowship, in the 12 steps, and sponsorship. And so thank you, everyone, for being on this call. Thanks. I'll pass.
Thank you, Margo P. Helene B., followed by George E. I got it right. Helene, here we go.
Hi, this is Helene G. from a Grateful Recovered. It's okay. Grateful Recovered Compulsive Overeater from South Florida. Seems to be Florida Day. You know, my relationship with God has changed over the years, and it's evolved. But the few things that I have come to learn that were different than things that I had thought I would know was that, you know, the big book tells me that God will do for me what I cannot do for myself. And so it requires, for me, I had to learn that, you know, I don't get to just say, hey, God, please do this, strike me abstinent, make this better. You know, I have to do the work, and I have to do and take responsibility for the parts of things that I can do and that I can change. And that was a real revelation. But, you know, I always have to come back to that part that he will do for me what I cannot do for myself. And I used to pray for things, you know, how I wanted things, you know, because, you know, make this happen. I want this job, make my son be this, whatever it was. And, you know, and I realized through working the steps that now I don't pray for anything except to know God's will and the power to carry it out. Because I don't know what's best for me. Me doing what I thought was best and even asking for what I thought was best got me to 300 pounds and a raging person who, you know, was a mess and messed everything up around me. So I don't know what's good for me. And so I don't ask for anything in particular. I just pray for God's, I just pray to know God's will and the power to carry it out. Because that's what I need to remember. That is what he is going, or it's what he's going to do, or what he wants from me. I'm supposed to be of service, and not ask for things that I don't know that they're really the best things for me or for anybody else around me. But just acceptance and knowing that to follow, to listen, and to follow. And with that, I'll pass. And thank you.
Thank you, Helene G. George E., followed by Terry H.M. Good morning, George.
George E., compulsive overeater, Cincinnati, Ohio. I guess the one word that sticks out to me in that reading is immutable. And to me, it symbolizes openness. Like, whenever I get fixated in some way of thinking, I'm really blocking out God entirely. So, you know, to think of God as just immutable law is really to short circuit the power. You know, I believe personally that, you know, in my program, you know, religion has helped me. You know, it's not for everybody. You know, I had enough experience in the other program to see that this paragraph is just a, well, it's, you know, Bill's kind of summarizing the whole book. And I think what he's doing is the same stuff he did in We Agnostics. You know, he's like, when he talks about a cipher, you know, I think of like DNA, you know, chromosomes. Because I have that same bent that Bill did, you know, trying to figure things out, being depressed. But food fueled all that. It fueled the rage. It fueled the depression. So putting down the food is not only saving my life, you know, it's saving my spirit. And that's, it's almost like you can't do both aspects of God at once, you know, religion and spirituality, you know, and so I guess it's finding a balance, you know, and lately I've been praying a lot about my soul because I'm not sure I ever really did much to nurture that soul, you know, food certainly didn't do it. It pretended to when I was a kid, you know, it was an escape starting very, very young. And, you know, the blessing of any of the 12-step work is I don't have to run anymore. And I don't have to hide. You know, I don't have to hide from the food. At least some days, let's put it that way. And so, you know, it's a journey, not exactly a destination. And, you know, I'm in this for the long haul. There's no doubt about it. The long haul may get shorter and shorter every day, but, you know, it's you know, it is keeping me alive. I truly believe that. You know, I had my anniversary in the other program today, as a matter of fact, and I'm so grateful for 12-step work, you know. That's all I have to share. Great day.
Well, thank you, George. Happy anniversary in your other program. Terry H.M., followed by Irie B. Good morning, Terry.
Sherry with a C, Sherry H.M. Oh. Recovered. Oh, no problem. You're good. Thanks so much for your service. Yeah, recovered from Washington State. And my goodness, I love this. You know, I grew up in a very, a home very allergic to organized religion, which I totally, completely understand. But that said, I did all kinds of other explorations of, you know, spiritual practices and everything, you know, that I heard about, studied, whatever. Anyway, but as a little girl, I tried to be like Casper. There was a little show called Casper the Friendly Ghost, tried to be like Casper. Later kind of developed into thinking, you know, I wasn't familiar with a shame-based God, but my God was sort of like a golden retriever, minus the slobber, you know, just loved all over me. But anyway, where would I really go for help with my food or help with life? I actually was ruled by food, and sugar was my God, little did I know. So 6 years ago, I threw up my arms, so to speak, after hearing my friend share her OA story. And on the way home, I said, God, I can't do this. I can't do this. You're going to have to do it for me. And then started in with the steps and listening to the these podcasts because they only had it at 4 in the morning, my time, and I wasn't going to do that at the point. So anyway, so thank you so much for this, and I'm grateful to all you guys. Thank you, Jesus, and I pass.
Well, thank you, Sherry H.M., and we'll take Irie B., and after her, I may have time for one or two more shares. Good morning, Irie. I think I have that right.
Hi, good morning, everybody. You do. One of the few people that gets my name right. this is Irie D., like David, from South Florida, Southeast Florida. Grateful, recovered for today, food addict. And my name is Irie. I guess my message is really, if you're on this line and you're new to the program and you feel that you're agnostic or atheist and you're bristle with antagonism, which we will read about in some pages down the road, don't worry about it. I came into this program and I was an atheist. I actually had divided people. As I think about it, before program, I used to have people divided into all kinds of categories, and I always fell in the best category. And so my category regarding God for people was, you know, there were the people, the religious people were dumb, the agnostics were confused, and the atheists were the smart people. And that's where I was. I was an atheist. I grew up in a home where my mom was Catholic and my dad was a Freemason and a philosopher, and I went to Catholic school, and I always swam upstream. And so every, you know, the people around me in school believed and had, you know, had all the rituals, and I decided very young that that was not for me, and it didn't make sense. And I tried to apply logic and deductive reasoning to God and faith, and it doesn't work. And so I went about my life. Because I had a disease, I believe I was born with a disease of addiction, trying to make things happen my way. And it wasn't until, you know, I was confronted by that that place in my disease where I was either going to die or I was going to do something different, that I was willing to become open to exploring other options. And I can tell you that today, after working the steps, it was a slow process. I had a spiritual awakening of the slow educational variety. My relationship with my higher power is the most important relationship in my life. today. And that keystone that they will talk about later on in the book, where it's really the keystone and the concept through which I pass through freedom, is the idea that by living my life in spiritual principles, putting the food down first, and then living my life by spiritual principles is what leads me to have peace and to have a life that feels useful and whole. And that has come, again, slowly as the result of working the steps. So if you struggle with the gut idea, just hang around, get a sponsor, and work the steps, and you will figure it out, and you will develop that relationship with whatever that may be. It may be God. For me, it has turned out to be God. Initially, it was just the principles and the steps that I hold on to. Thank you very much. And with that, I pass, and I'm grateful to be here.
And thank you, Irie B. And we have time for one more share. Someone would like to take that? One more 3 minute or two more 2 minutes?
Elaine C. from Michigan.
All right, Elaine, why don't you go ahead?
Okay, I've never done this before, so do I press the star one again?
No, you're on. Your line is open, so just start talking. I'll time you. Oops.
All right, this is Elaine C. from Michigan. I've been listening to Vision for 5 months now, first time I've shared. I'm a visual learner, and my image of what I used to be like is at my church, I sit behind a column, a huge column, and in order to see the minister in the front of the church, I have to literally move or take action to see. And my compulsive overeating is my visual for what has happened. It blocked my view of my higher power. And finally, I'd like to give credit to Johnny Nash, who recently passed away. He was the one that sang, "I can see clearly now, the rain has gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. It's going to be a bright, bright, sunshiny day." I'm grateful for Vision. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Elaine C. We still have time for one more two-minute share. Anybody like to take that?
Hello, is it okay to ask a question?
No, not at this point.
Okay.
You can take my phone number after the meeting or get a sponsor's phone number and give them a call, okay? Somebody else
I'm Mary
would
Beth.
Like to share? Mary Beth.
Mary Beth,
all right.
Kay.
Give us 2 minutes.
Thank
Go
you.
Ahead.
Appreciate your service. Just a lot of gratitude. The last couple of days I've been consistent with getting on this meeting, and I'm just really hearing a lot about looking at the past in regards to my relationship with God and what it looks like now. And I know it's transformed because of the steps. But this morning when I was journaling, I was able to look back and see all the positive that my folks and my aunts, great aunts who lived with us, in regards to their action and going to church or praying or meditating. And I too was one that used the food to block out God. And I also see that God wasn't doing what I thought he should do, or I wasn't worthy of what God was doing for me. And so I was able to put down the food and generate through the steps a new relationship with God that I have intimacy with. And it's my best relationship. And it's my favorite relationship. I don't have as much conflict with my God as I do with other folks, and that's why I keep going to my God to support me in staying sober from the food and also having improved relationships with others. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
And thank you very much. And with that, we will say thank you to all those who gave service on this meeting and to those of you who shared. And I will now ask Shelley E. to read a vision for you.
Good morning. This is Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Northern Michigan. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you can't transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.